Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Good Game, Nice Try. Sonia, how are we doing this week? What's up? What are we playing? How are we doing? Because I got some thoughts. I got some things to say.
I bet. I'm still in the thick of The Last of Us 2 land, which I have a plenty to talk about. Ooh. But I literally can't stop playing it. I am waiting. I keep feeling like I'm getting close to beating it, and it just doesn't happen, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you mean in a good way.
In a good way. But I've heard you've had some game time.
Well, here's something I wanted to talk about and I wanted to ask you about. Mm-hmm. I've been playing Lord of the Rings Shadow of War, which is the sequel to Shadow of Mordor, which is a game, it's really fun. And I've been streaming it, but I've also been playing it a lot off of stream, and I beat it. But I actually felt guilt, real human guilt.
Wow, that's a new experience for you. How was that?
Oh God, am I going to throw up? No, it's just me feeling guilty. But it was, I felt guilty because I beat it off stream and I didn't beat it on stream. So I'm going to play it again and beat it, in quotes, on stream again. And I had a similar experience with The Last of Us 2, where I kind of didn't want to play it on stream. Have you ever felt that, where like you feel like you should play something on stream, but you want to play it with yourself?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I definitely had that with The Last of Us 2 for so long. People were asking me to play that on stream, and I kept resisting and saying that, you know, it's something that I wanted to experience on my own and really get wrapped up in it, because there's been other times where I've played similar games on stream, and it's just not the same vibe. You really want to like entertain. And, you know, there's points where I get lost because I'm an idiot and I'm navigationally challenged, and then it's just frustrating and I look even more stupid, and then it takes me out of the game. But with The Last of Us 2, I'm so glad that that is a game that I have now been playing off stream, because I have cried. I have looked like an idiot. I have got lost. I have made stupid mistakes that I feel like I would have got grilled for on stream. But yeah, it's just a different vibe. Again, you really want to entertain. You really want to read the chat and have time to pause and, you know, like shout people out and make it really exciting. And it's hard to do that when you're with a fistful of tears. So I feel like there are games that are better for that.
Do you feel like your strategy playing games is different when you're doing it in front of people?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm trying to think of a good game for an example, but there's been times where I've played something on stream and say there's a lot of narrative. Okay. And I love, like, again, I'm so deep into The Last of Us 2 that I'm just going to keep talking about it. But
please.
I'll find notes. I'll go off the track, and they really reward you for exploring rather than just like going right through it. And you'll find notes of somebody who's died, and it was like their last note that they wrote. I will sit there and I will read every single damn word.
Yes, me too.
I love it. And then you find like something that they talked about in the other room and you're like, like it's so cool. But if I'm on stream, I do feel this pressure to kind of skip through it and get through all of the narrative in that way, because I'm just reading and it's not as interesting. And I do take a different approach to it, and it does pull me out of it. So yeah.
110%. And there's I can think of two great examples of games that I love. One of them being the first Last of Us. There's a great moment. I don't know if you remember this, but because same thing, absolutely everything you're saying, 100% me too. And there's like, I found a bunch of notes in the first Last of Us. I found a bunch of notes in this house about somebody who was like in love with someone. They're going to go find their lover. Like, and like, I'm leaving here. If anyone's trying to find me, I've gone to find my lover, whatever it is. And then later, way later in the game, you find the person's lover, their boyfriend, and their boyfriend hung themselves before that person who you read the notes earlier could find them.
No.
And there was, it's like this super, I think I cried at that moment, like super heavy
chills.
Emotional moment.
I got chills.
Super heavy emotional moment where you're like, oh my God, this has nothing to do with the story in any way.
No, and you could have easily missed it.
Easily missed it. And it was like an emotional sledgehammer that, oh my God, this person earlier didn't find their boyfriend before they like lost all hope. And you're like, holy shit. And if I was streaming this game, I would have been like, fucking notes. These fucking people write notes. They're fucking, you know, like I would have, right? Like, it's ridiculous. So that's the thing is like, and I think that's important for people who love watching live streams to understand is it's a different thing when you're playing a game for yourself versus playing a game on stream. It's entertainment on stream. You know, we're trying to entertain people.
Yeah. And in the realm of entertainment and live streaming, our guest today is an actor, singer, YouTuber, gamer. He's appeared on Broadway and Rock of Ages and Mamma Mia. You also probably know him from the 16th season of the CBS series Big Brother. And soon, I'm so stoked for this. Soon he's going to be hosting the new podcast, SpongeBob Binge Pants. I love it. Here is our interview with Frankie Grande. So Frankie, you know, a lot of people know you, Big Brother, obviously, and, you know, performing, theater, acting. But more recently in your career, you've brought all of this incredible energy to Twitch.
Yeah, I decided to make a Twitch channel and then coronavirus like struck. And I was like, well, I guess this is a great thing to do while I'm not doing, you know, the other things that I would be doing with my time. Because, you know, it's just it's a fun way to stay connected with, you know, my fans in the community. And also like, my boyfriend and I are like, my boyfriend's such a gamer. Like he's truly the gamer in the relationship, you know, like he streams every single day. Not every single day. He streams 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at Hale. Check him out on Twitch. But he's like, you'll probably hear him screaming from down the hallway anytime soon because he's a screamer when he plays. He's very loud.
And I got to say, like, one thing is, I mean, I can imagine as a performer, it's a different kind of performing. Can you talk a little bit about the things you kind of learned when you first started streaming?
Yeah, that it's 5 hours as opposed to two. You know, I thought I was like real good at, you know, being a Broadway actor, being like, you know, in it for the endurance because we're pretty good within that department. But I was like 5 hours later, I was like, guys, I have no voice. I have to go. Goodbye. Like, it's like, this is all exhausting to be doing for 5 hours. It makes me so tired. My boyfriend does it for like 7-8 hours. I'm like, how are you still and screaming at the top of his lungs? And it's like the chat is constant. Like, so there's certain skill sets that you have to be really good at. For the longest time, I couldn't look at chat while gaming. It was impossible. It was one or the other. So like, and you see all my like fans or like my mods being like, he doesn't look at chat. And I was like, I feel like such a failure. that's a whole new skill set as well that you have to develop. You have to get good at that.
It's a lot. It's a balance. It truly is.
Yeah, for sure.
I have to say one thing I love, Sonia, when you stream, my favorite thing is when she starts to stream, you'll be in the, if I could out you for a second, you'll be in the chat before, you know, cause you can need to wait a little while for people to kind of come in.
Yeah.
You know, before you actually start the thing and you'll go in and interact with the fans, but also like troll them a bit to get them like hyped up or something. Like, why are we doing this? Should we do, you know, like what? It always makes me laugh, but
I know
there's a pre-game ritual. There's a whole, it's like, you know, getting ready for the big show, getting ready for the big sport event, you know, whether you're doing Mamma Mia crunches in the dressing room with the chorus boys, or whether you're in there trolling your viewers, you're like getting ready for the big show.
Yeah, there is a pregame.
You've done Broadway. It's kind of like people coming into the theater, you know? It's like...
Exactly.
I love, again, how you stream with your boyfriend, Hale. And even more so, I love how you guys met in the most unlikely combination of things with country line dancing and gaming.
Yes, it's so funny. I met him at the country line dancing bar, Oil Can Harry's, which is sadly no more. So sad. Aww. Victim of COVID.
Yeah. I've been there. It was a part. That's a party. And that's a bummer. That's a bummer. It's gone.
I don't know what we're going to do. We have to figure out what is the new place. Like, cause it was so fun. Cause it was line dancing, but it wasn't necessarily only country. It was like to pop music and stuff like that. So, and Hale knew all the dances. And so the first time that I went, I saw him dancing and I was like, oh my God, who is this professionally trained dancer? Like, who is this Savion Glover of Oil Can Harry's? Like, who is this man who's trained his whole life to be here? And he was so funny because, like, I chased him down. I could not find him on the dance floor because he kept disappearing. And I was like, where is he going? And then I figured out it was because after every dance, he would go to the bathroom to fix his hair. So I literally had to corner him in the bathroom because he kept disappearing. And I was like, hello, I'm Frankie. Nice to meet you. Are you a professional dancer? And he was like, what? No, absolutely not. No, I'm not. I'm a nerd and I'm a gamer. And I was like, I'm a gamer. And he was like, I don't believe you. And I was like, I am a gamer. I promise. I swear. And then I showed him all my nerdy tattoos. And then he asked me whether I played console or PC. And I was like, at the time, console. I had never touched a PC until Hale. And I started dating and he like made me get a PC. He was like, you need to up your gaming. And I was like, oh, okay. And I told him my favorite console games. And then he was like, okay, fine. I'll dance with you. And I was like, okay, fine.
True love is really moving to PC gaming for somebody. Yes, I think it's tough. That's what are we doing? That's woo.
That is true. I think it really changed my life. I love it. PC gaming now. Like I like to hardly even play console anymore, but it's like all goes with my obsession, you know, like, I'm obsessed with this today as opposed to that yesterday. Like, it's just, I have a very one-track mind sometimes. Now I'm like, only PC, only PC. Yeah. And then something will come out. Like, there'll be like the next Zelda will be dropped. And I'll be like, oh my God, only Switch, only Switch. And it's like, you know, I'm like a crazy person.
I feel it. What did you, start playing on PC that you hadn't played before?
The first game that he showed me was Overwatch.
Yes.
And I loved it. It definitely was there was a sharp learning curve for me. That's not the easiest first game to play, but I stuck to healers. I did really well. Like, I got my like Mercy up first, and then I graduated to Moira and then to Baptiste. And then now I have like a solid, like three healers that also can do damage that I can play, that's the role that I like to play anyway. Like, I don't ever want to be, you know, just solely a shooter or a tank. Like, I like the healing role. I do. I like the healing role.
Yeah.
It's very gay of me too. Like, I feel like the gays love to play a healer. We're like, well, we're helping. So
you guys are
only
piece.
Killing. We're helping.
It's a critical piece. Yeah, some would say it's more difficult.
Listen, I've seen Hale play healer and I'm like, okay, I have no idea. I'm nowhere near as good as him. He is flying in and switching weapons and resurrecting. And I'm like, okay, you're very good at these things. But also, like, he was raised on PC games. Like, this is my first time. I just started, like, what was it, a year and a half ago? So,
wow.
First was Overwatch, but I love it. I think it's such a great game and it's so beautiful. Oh. The skins are fantastic and the special events and the mini games. I like everything about that game. And then I graduated to Dead by Daylight, which is a delight. Like, what a delightful game. Still that game.
Yeah, I've seen Hale's been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, he's a fog whisperer now. Which is very exciting. I'm dating a fog whisperer, which is really exciting. I know. I was like so excited. I was playing the other day with him and I was like, I'm playing with a fog whisperer. Is that really cool? I think that's really cool.
Yes.
And then what's other? And Valorant. I love Valorant.
Oh,
I love Valorant. Yeah. Yes. It's a really fun game.
It's on the same track-ish, I would say, as Overwatch, yes. In a way.
Yeah.
But a little more like shooty, Counter-Strike-y kind of.
Yeah, but with the powers, and that's the reason I like it, because there's a healing class. I can play, you know, I can play a sage, and I can heal as well as kill. And I like powers. Anything that has powers, I'm in. I love magic. I love, you know, the whole fantasy element of it. Like, that's why I really like also Dead by Daylight. Obviously, there's so many iconic horror characters in it that you get to play as and run from. And it just makes, I love thematic games like that. It just makes my hours go even faster into, you know, nothing.
It's amazing to me. Like, Dead by Daylight is like, so I'm a huge horror fan, huge horror movie, got all this stuff. For some reason, Dead by Daylight freaks me out. I get like legitimately scared and panicky. Yeah. That doesn't happen with kind of any other game. For some reason, playing against another human, like a human, I think that's what gets me. I can't play it before bed. I'll freak out, which is very wild. Like,
it's the stealth killers that actually make me scream. Like Spirit. And like, you know, some, or like Mike Myers, like all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, they're all of a sudden like they can stab you, like they don't have a heartbeat. And all of a sudden they're like there. And then there's some loud sound. And I'm like, that makes me nuts. Like, I'm like, it's so scary. But that's why we play, you know, like that's why we're playing a horror game, so that we can be scared.
Would you ever want to be in like a horror movie? Would you ever want to? Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
As the killer or what?
Like, all what are of the above.
If you could choose a horror franchise that you would want to be a part of, what would be your ideal, your top?
I mean, Aliens is my favorite. Look, I got my Xenomorph on my arm.
Oh, wow.
That's so sick.
She's my favorite. The alien.
Very
queen.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, Aliens. I really do want to play a villain, though. Like, I want to play, like, someone who is, like, kind of... something's off. Like, I would love to play, like, if it was Alien, like, you know, like one of the robots that's gone bad, you know, like something, Android, you know, an android that has gone a little haywired or something. Like, I do have a desire to play someone a little dark and twisted at some time in my life. I haven't gotten really a chance to do that yet. So that's like a bucket list thing that hasn't yet been ticked, is like me playing someone like a little psychotic.
I love it. Did you play Alien Isolation?
I did. Oh my God. I was so scared. I had so many panic attacks during that one. That was terrifying. Yeah. I screamed a lot and I was really nervous and I had to turn off the game multiple times. I streamed it, so people were there with me. That was the only reason I got through the game, by the way, because I had people with me in the chat. Otherwise, I would never have done it. Mm-hmm. It was so scary.
So good.
Did you shut off all the lights? And?
Well, I had my streaming lights on. Thank God. Because I don't think I would have been able to do it without my key lights on. Because I was I was really scared. But my boyfriend did, of course, like scare me and like do jump scares. And like, he would, like, even if I was streaming that day and then later in the evening, like, he would jump out at me, I would still be so like in that space from the playing the game that I would be so scared of him. Like, he would get such easy freebie scares because I would be scared of everything after I played Alien Isolation for a couple hours. That's all you think of or see. I mean, even now I'm having flashbacks. It was a scary game.
It was great.
Really good game.
Oh my God.
And the flaily running arms. I always made fun of the arms. This is how your character runs. And I was like, that's not running. You can't. This isn't how people don't run like this.
It's like Ashton Kutcher in The Butterfly Effect. I don't know if you saw that old movie, but it's a very dramatic, like, crazy, creepy movie. And then there's a very dramatic part at the end where he has to run down a hallway and he's doing like the flaily, you know, like car wash tube guy.
Wacky, waving, inflatable arm flailing tube, man.
There it is.
You're laughing. Yeah. It's like this point in the movie and you're like, oh no, Ashton. Oh.
Yeah. And you're like, man, so he needed a running coach, man.
You as an android in a future Aliens movie. Can't
yeah, me
yeah.
Too.
Or video games.
Or video games.
Would you ever be interested in doing anything like that? Like acting in video games? And I can see that.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. One of my friends is in the new Spider-Man game and told me about how cool it was to like, they flew him to like the Middle East. They scanned his whole body into a machine. Like, there was like a whole thing. Oh, and I was like, that sounds awesome.
Yes.
I'm like, please... ask me to do that. I want to be in a video game. I played this the new Star Wars video game, and I was like, that's real, the Jedi Fallen Order. And yeah, like the acting in that is like legit. Like there's legitimate acting happening in these video games. You know what I just saw, which is incredible? Love, Death, Robots. My God. What they have achieved in animation.
Unreal.
It's unbelievable. Why aren't we having full-length films that are with this animation now? Is it too expensive? Because it looks unbelievable. And I immediately call for a full-length film, like, of, like, in the animation style of, like, Love, Death, Robots. Because that was, it's remarkable what they're capable of doing right now. It looks so real.
Yeah, and the stories they're able to tell because it's animation is really fantastic also. It's so freeing to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
I will say, though, like to your point about being in a video game, I don't know if I would want my entire body scanned.
Give me like 6 weeks to prep and then I'll be in it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I still got a, you know, I have a COVID 5 that I want to get rid of. But other than that, I'm ready. Just scan me. I'm ready to go. Put me in the tube, sir.
For me too.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The obvious question is, you know, Big Brother, you are on Big Brother and so great on that season. Have you played Among Us? I feel like Sonny and I were saying, like, you would destroy at Among Us.
I do well at Among Us. I really do well at Among Us. Yeah, I do. I played the real version of Among Us, didn't I?
You really did.
That's actually what
before
I did.
It wasn't Among Us. Yeah, you were in it.
Yeah, I was in the real version of Among Us. And honestly, I don't know why I was so good at that game. I don't know. Like, it's so funny. Like, maybe it is because I'm just been a gamer my whole life. So my ability to strategize, and I guess because I was a fan of the show, so I kind of always put myself in people's positions and was like, what would I do if I was in the house? Yeah. So that when I was in the house, I was just like ready and good at it. I wonder if I would still be as good, to be honest. Like, you know, I don't know if I have that same amount of, I don't know. I was ruthless.
Ruthless.
And awesome. It was great. I'm so happy. I'm very pleased with the way I played that game. But I was like, I'm looking back, am I still that ruthless? But then knowing me,
says
like,
the guy who wants to be like the most evil of villains.
I know. And then knowing me, I'm like, once I get in that house, it's all, like, I think right now, all. Like in my life, like with my puppy on my lap, like streaming with you guys, talking to my, you know, getting ready to cook dinner for my boyfriend later. Like, no, he's not that ruthless, but I guess that's the whole point. Like Frankie that is in that Big Brother house is not actually who I am.
Right.
It is a very small part of me that is getting amplified because I'm trying to win that money.
You're playing a game.
And because I'm playing a game. And that's the thing. When I play games with even my family, they're like, we're not sure if we want to play with you anymore because that part comes out. And I get a little crazy, but Hale is even crazier than I am. So I take a backseat to his insanity when we play games together.
Wow.
That's incredible.
My mom was literally like, is Hale screaming yet? Is the family game still family friendly, or do I have to come down and say something? I'm like, no, it's fine. It's wonderful. Everything's great. He's actually calmed down quite a bit too. But in the beginning, like right in the beginning, we played a game with my mom and it was Survive, Escape from Atlantis. Mm-hmm. And like, it was like, Hale was like, I get really awkward when I'm meeting family members, so I'd love to have a game night. Great. We have a game night. And within like 30 minutes, he's screaming, you're my mortal enemy at my mother. And I was like, honey, I was like, this is the nice introduction that you wanted, screaming, you're my mortal enemy.
That's a good way to meet the fam.
I know. It's so funny.
I really wanted to ask, is there games, because I know that you play a lot of games together. Are there games that you just like cannot play together?
We didn't do very well with Avalon. We did not do well with that one together. Okay. So, yeah, I think that one's pretty much off limits for us
on the table.
Ever play together again. So that one's not going to happen. Yikes. I get so angry. Social deduction games, like playing with me, like, because if he doesn't let me do the things that I'm good at, which is manipulate, because he can see through it, and then, or then I get so mad. Like, I get so angry. So we don't play those games. Same thing with my sister. My sister and I are like, maybe we'll chill with the social deduction games. I'm like, yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's a good idea. Because also, she's very good. My sister is very good at the social deduction games as well. Like, it must be in her blood.
Yeah.
I just don't know. But she is so good at it. So when we play Mafia together or whatever, like, it's always the two of us that are against each other because we're the two best people and one must go.
Yeah, there could be only one.
There can only be one.
Exactly. So we're like, maybe we'll just not play Mafia today. Or one of us is always the host. That's the other thing. One of us will host and the other one gets to play. And then she'll be like, can I play now? And I'm like, yes, I'll host. It's great. So we've got that under control. But yeah, we get ruthless in the Grande family when it comes to our games.
I love it. Now, how are you and Hale at with Overcooked?
Oh my God. Great.
Because it's kind of like couples therapy. It's like, you know.
Well, we have fought many times during Overcooked, but we always keep going and succeed. Like, we beat the game. Aww. We beat Overcooked.
Wow, great.
Because we were so focused. But the problem is that he wants 3 stars on every level.
Oh, no.
And I go nuts. Because we'll be like 20 points away. Like, we'll have like just like been 1 millisecond away from completing the final order. And he's like, oh, we have to replay it. I'm like, no! I just want to finish the game. Like, nope, 3 stars every level, 3 stars every level. And I'm
he's one of the achievement. He needs the achievements.
He does. And the same thing in Sackboy or in whatever, like every star, every thing. Like, he won't move on until we get every single orb in Sackboy, or in, if it's Mario, then it's, if it's every star per level. So that's frustrating, but we are a good team. We are an effective team when it comes to Overcooked.
Are you an achiever, Sonia? Do you like the achievements? Or are you just, because I like you, Frankie, I'm just like, let's finish.
Get the level, go to the next level.
Yeah. Do you do the achievements or no?
Oh, just get it done.
Get it done.
If I keep replaying this, I'm just going to get more frustrated.
Right.
Let's just go. Let's just move on.
Yep. Nope. Not Hale. Will I not feel it. Let me go. Yeah. Will not let me graduate.
Wow.
I know.
One thing I think, I obviously, gaming-wise, it's been so cool this past year to see, not just live streaming, but video games in general, I think really just the upswell has been incredible. And I think, Sonia and I talk a lot on this podcast about, even in the past few years, how games have become a thing that were just to pass the time, or it was like a dirty word to be a gamer. And now you just get these great, beautiful stories. Like, and along with that comes, all like diversity. And even in the Spider-Man game, Miles Morales, like all these great things. And there's like a character in there who's signing, who's hearing impaired and signing. And just, it's so beautiful. And so, and representation in games is such an amazing and beautiful thing to see. What does it mean to you to see this kind of diversity and representation kind of exploding in the past few years?
You know, I honestly do think that we have a very long way to go in terms of the streaming community, in terms of it being fully accepting. You know, I do still find it to be a very homophobic environment. And I find that people are very free with their slurs. You know, like they will find you. There are beautiful pockets and the communities and the LGBTQ streamers are so wonderful. But there's just still, there's something about the gaming community that is still okay with using these derogatory slurs like in game. Especially when you're playing like Valorant on Vox or on chat, like I've been called some crazy things, and it's not because they're looking at me. It's because that's what they just call each other, you know, like it's just kind of like part of the vernacular of streaming or about playing games. That's very kind of like homophobic. So it took me, it was very shocking in the beginning. I had to definitely like kind of like slow my roll. I was like, whoa, like what is going on? Like I haven't been called these things. Like I felt very scared. Like I didn't want to talk in game for the first time in my life. Like as you know, a man in his 30s, like I was like, why, how am I getting gay bashed? How is this possible? Right, I worked so hard to be this rainbow glitter person who's so confident. Like, how is this happening? So I think that there's definitely a long place that we have to go. But the only way that we will go, A, is for games to continue to be inclusive. So, like, thank you for games like Overwatch for having Soldier 76 and, you know, for having gay characters, like, within the game that identify as LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And also in Dead by Daylight. And, you know, there
Last of Us 2, amazing.
Yeah, it's wonderful when we have gay characters that we can see and identify with in terms and fall in love with their origin stories. Mm-hmm. I think that's so beautiful, and we need to definitely continue to do that. So thank you for the games that are doing it. And then also, we need streamers at the top of Twitch and at the top of the industry to have a no hate policy and have a no like homophobia and no discrimination policy within their chats. It needs to come from the top down, and more big streamers need to take a very strong opinion against it, because there are some streamers that are guilty of doing it themselves. And like, as far as I'm concerned, please eject them from the platforms, all the platforms, get them out, push them away. I don't care how many millions of followers you have.
Yeah.
But then there are other streamers that are just quiet on the matter. And it's just like, I don't think you can afford to be quiet on the matter.
Agreed.
Like, I think we really need to foster a welcoming environment, because there are people like me out there, you know, little gays who are just like want nothing more than to be nerds their whole life. And, you know, I kind of get it like reverse like stereotyping, where people are always like, but you can't be a nerd. You love makeup. And I'm like, okay, like it is possible to be many different things and to be unique in many different ways. So, you know, I think that we are definitely, I think in the past year we've gotten some visibility. I remember at TwitchCon 2 years ago, it was all about like the Year of the Woman Gamer, which was wonderful. And I was so grateful that that was what that was. And, you know, I'm hoping when we go back, you know, in another year to TwitchCon, then it'll be have more LGBTQ things, because there wasn't a gay booth. There wasn't a thing, you know, like I was looking for my community at TwitchCon, and I was alone with my boyfriend. Comic-Con, the gays are out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, like we've really made our own at places like Comic-Con. So I think that's where I was going to TwitchCon and like E3, like thinking that there would be more of that community, but there really wasn't. So I'm hoping that we will continue to chip away at that and make further strides in the gaming community. And that's why, you know, my boyfriend and I started the Gamers on Twitch, GAYMERS, our little rainbow. There are other ones as well, like, you know, Rainbow Arcade, and there's some other really nice ones. But, you know, just trying to create more safe spaces for LGBTQ nerd gamers to feel safe and loved and appreciated while they're streaming, you know?
Mm-hmm. I really appreciated what you said, how there are good communities out there.
There are
really, really good inclusive communities, obviously including the gamers.
Yes, and you guys, thank you.
Of course. But, you know, what can we do, like as streamers or as viewers or, you know, on Twitch and anyone on that platform, how can we foster those communities deeper and give more visibility and give more representation?
I think being good allies is great, you know, definitely calling out negative behavior when you see it, but also reinforcing positive behavior, finding some cute LGBTQ or, you know, racially diverse streamers for you to raid. To give shout outs to kind of like, you know, bring into the community, like you could just raid people that don't look like you. And like, let if everyone did that, then it would be a really welcoming. And I mean, it would really expand everyone's viewership. Yes. And that's the thing. Like if we are one type of streamer, then don't raid another type of streamer that's just like you. Give your audience like some like a taste of something else so that they can be like, oh, wow, you know what? I never actually thought I would really enjoy that LGBTQ streamer or a drag queen. Never, ever thought that. But look, there they are and they're amazing and I'm enjoying it. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just to continue to do that. And you know what? One game I was playing in Valorant that really sticks out in my mind is somebody was like, oh man, you suck at this game. You're so gay. And somebody else, not me, was like, dude, like being gay has nothing to do with being good or bad at this game. Being gay can be a compliment. And it sounded like a very heteronormative presenting person. And he was like, dude, that no one uses gay badly anymore. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know? And I was like, that was great. I didn't even have to say it. Like awesome. Somebody, so the more voices we get like that in chat, and I know I'm talking to an 11-year-old in like Idaho. Like I know, okay? Like I get it. But an 11-year-old in Idaho should learn like
100%.
That you can't call people faggots in the middle of the game, you know? And like, and you can't use gay as a negative thing. Like, it is not a negative thing. Like, dude, you missed that shot. You're so gay. Like, that's not, we don't talk like that anymore. So the more people we get calling it out in chat as in acceptable behavior, even if it's in a private game and not even on stream, that stuck with me more than anything else. I felt so like loved and supported in that moment. And this guy didn't even know he was playing with a gay person. Like, although my name is Frankie J. Grande on all platforms and all games. So it's impossible he knew he was playing with a large homosexual. But, you know, but I felt so like loved and supported in that moment from this stranger. And it was awesome. So more things like that, please.
Yeah.
And
two things that really stuck out to me in what you just said were, you know, I think one thing that I love about gaming and live streaming and these things is the ability to create a community and your own community and all those things. And that example you just mentioned, like, really sticks out to me because a live stream is basically a bunch of people standing around in a circle kind of watching something, you know, or we're all in like a giant living room or something. And that just even someone just calling out, hey, that's not what we do. Don't do that. Is so much more powerful in a certain way because you're in the living room with someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure that person who had the talking to is going to remember that and will change their behavior because it's more than just a PSA or whatever. Right. It's like someone else being like, yo, don't, come on. What are you
exactly? Yeah. It's a peer. Exactly. That's what we need is people like peers reaching out and being like, yeah, this isn't cool. Like, don't say this and don't say racial slurs and don't say like, these are not cool things and they don't mean what you're using them to mean anyway. So let's just stop using them.
And the other thing you said that I just realized, I didn't realize until you said it just now, is what a powerful tool being able to raid another streamer is.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when you said that to me, I was like, oh my God. So for people who aren't aware, everyone should be aware, but on Twitch, a streamer, when they're finished with their stream, they can choose to send all of their followers immediately to another stream, and it's called a raid. So, and then it's really fun because then all of those viewers will come in and be like, it's a raid. And like, I like to buy a bunch of subs. It's like a party, you know,
and everyone's it's so crazy. Fun.
And emotes up. And it's like popping off and it's great. But what an amazing tool for anyone who's listening right now, who's a streamer, however big or small you are, that like send your or take the opportunity to use that powerful tool and send your people, introduce your people to a new streamer who's diverse. And like you said, who doesn't look like you. I love that. That's so great. That's really cool.
Thanks. And I know my boyfriend strives to do that after every stream if he's not exhausted after his 8 hours of screaming. Sometimes he's like, I can't raid today.
The mummy raid.
Yeah, exactly. He's so funny because then he likes to stay and chat like you do and party and throw.
Yes,
I have rated people that have like one viewer and they're just like,
oh,
yes.
Frozen. Frozen, no idea what's going on. They're so like overwhelmed. And then I like subscribe and they're like, you're my first subscriber ever. And it's just so fun to watch their little faces turn on and just be so excited.
It's the best feeling.
It's so fun and it's so great. And then to watch them have like no idea what to do. They're like, I guess, should I keep playing? I don't know. Wow. And I'm like, yes, no, you got it. Please keep playing. We want to see what you're doing. And they're like, okay, hello. It's find those people and you know, give them some love.
Well, Frankie, this has been an absolute delight. Before we go, tell us about this podcast that's coming up.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm joining the world of podcasts like you guys.
Yay!
Come join us. Join us.
I know, exactly. People have always been like, oh, you need to do a podcast. You need to do a podcast. And I was like, oh my God, but that sounds like so much effort. My goodness. But then Nickelodeon came to me and said, do you want to host our SpongeBob podcast? Hey. And I was like, yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. No questions asked. Like, I don't even need to do, just you had me at hello. when do we start? And the answer is soon. So that's really great. And I look, I've got my little SpongeBob pop, also my pops. I love so many pops. So that's exciting. I'm really excited to be doing that project. So take a gander at my socials at Frankie J. Grande. Actually, I'm at Frankie J. Grande on every platform, including Twitch. So make sure to follow me and stay tuned for when my podcast SpongeBob Binge Pants goes live.
Aww. I love that. I love that name.
Amazing name.
And isn't that great, fan? That's a so great good. Title. Binge I loved it. When, great. Yeah, it's great.
We love to end every interview with asking our guest their least favorite game and their favorite game. So when we say, what's your least, just to you, you know, doesn't have to be, but to you personally, what's your worst game, the game you dislike the most? And then we'll end on a high note.
Oh my God. Oh no, you have to make me choose a game that I don't
or type
like.
Or type of game,
genre.
Type of game, genre, yeah.
Genre.
Game that was frustrating, anything.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Games that are frustrating. My God, all I can think of is playing with my boyfriend and how frustrating it is to play chess with him because he's memorized the patterns. So like
he's in it.
He's a grandmaster.
Like that. He exactly like he spends all nights like researching formulas and learning blocks and pins and things. So I thought chess was a very fun game, and so I started playing with him. And then I was like, okay, well now there's no point in me even making an effort anymore. So we're no longer playing chess. So now I hate chess. I don't actually hate chess, but I hate playing chess with Hale. So chess with Hale is the biggest game that I don't like.
You shouldn't have let him watch Queen's Gambit. Shouldn't have let him. Yep,
that's exactly what happened.
That was it.
That was the turning point. It was Queen's Gambit. I thought we were fine beforehand. We played Onitama, which is an amazing game. We're big board game people. So Onitama is like chess, but the movements of the pieces changes every round. So it's not like it's not your pieces are just pawns, but they each get a magical different movement pattern. Whoa. So it's really fun. And the game is never the same twice. So that's fun.
That's cool.
Like Onitama. But then we watched Queen's Gambit and then it was chess. And I was like, well, can't play with you ever again. One of my favorite games, let's see, of all time.
Were your tattoos? I mean, you have so many things.
I mean, it's Harry Potter, it's Lord of the Rings. I can't wait for open world Harry Potter.
I was going to say, as you're holding a Harry Potter wand currently.
Yes. Yeah, I'm holding a wand. And I have my Harry Potter tattoos. Like, I'm really excited for the new open world Harry Potter. Like, you're never going to see me again. but I think I think I'd have to go with Zelda, this most recent Zelda. Because you just get lost and you just get to have such a good time. I spent so many hours on my console just, like, living in front of my TV. And I don't know. There's a fond – and it's also, like, there's childhood nostalgia associated with it. So definitely Zelda and definitely Mario Party. I love Mario Party.
Which one is your favorite?
Much. I always am obsessed with the newest one. So even though the new one is like weird and different than all the previous ones, but I love it. What are we at now? 10?
I don't even know.
Yeah, we're up there. I think it's double digits.
I think we're at 10. But Mario Party and also just like an amazing sense of family because I always have played that game with my family. my whole life. It will always be something I play with me and my mom, my sister, and my boyfriend. And everyone will sit, will, and we don't fight. Yes. And no one fights during Mario Party.
I was going to say, the fact that you've made it through Mario Party, not only with Hale and the family and everybody, that's an achievement.
Yeah, we love Mario Party. So yeah, no all-time favorite Mario Party, least favorite at the moment, Chess.
Hale has yet to scream, "You're my mortal enemy."
I'm sure he has, but I think we knew him better.
Okay. Well, Frankie Grande, this was an absolute delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, Frankie Grande, I mean, look, I am a gigantic Big Brother fan, and I just love him. That was so fun to talk about. Everything from Overcooked to LGBTQ representation was, what a great interview. What a great interview and a high energy, lovely person to talk to.
He was fantastic. So thank you to Frankie Grande for stopping by and joining us. And be sure to check him out on his new podcast, SpongeBob Binge Pants. Coming soon.
I love that name.
Yes.
Greatest name. Can we change our podcast to Good Game, Nice Try, Binge Pants? Does that work? No, it doesn't work, does it?
Jen, what do you think?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I'll see myself out. Don't go anywhere, everybody. Well, we're going to take another fan request right after these messages. We'll be right back.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Welcome back. So today we have a request that we've gotten a couple of times. A lot of you have been asking about games that have moved us emotionally.
Okay, so we were talking a little bit earlier, Last of Us 2. I mean, you want to talk emotions. Let's talk about it. How are we doing? How are you feeling? How are you? How are you?
If this sums it up, a couple days, I'm currently at this point, I'm probably like 37 hours in.
Okay.
And I made a tweet not that long ago that said, I'm 30 hours into The Last of Us 2, and I feel like there is so much game left, and I'm unsure if I can handle it emotionally. Which still stands, by the way. I'm almost 40 hours in, and I feel like there is still so much game left, and I am even more unsure if I can handle it emotionally. And a lovely person who we've had on our podcast, Alana Pierce, she replied saying that you even tweeting this means that you feel the same way the characters do at that point in their story. And I respect the hell out of it for creating that parallel.
Yeah.
And I had such a like, whoa, such a whoa moment because it's so true. I'm just getting punched left and right, but I'm so in it. It gives you so much perspective. It gives you so much to think about. And just the development of every character, of every single character, is just unreal. And I don't know if I've had many games where I have, you know, I'll play it up. And I think I've told you this before. I'll play up things and like, oh, I'll gasp and I'll cover my mouth like, oh no. I did it involuntarily multiple times. Like my jaw dropped and I was actually like physically shocked and just I've cried a handful of times. So I think there hasn't been a game that's affected me that many times that emotionally and has gone on this long and has been able to sustain this hook that it has in me, you know?
What has The Last of Us 2 taught you about yourself?
Gosh, well, again, I'm going to try and dance around spoilers in a way, but
Please do. And I promise I will beat this game as soon as possible. So we can have like a proper chat. I hate feeling emotion. I'm scared.
Feel it all. I'm so excited. I'm so excited when you finally play through it and I get to relive it. I'm assuming that's similar because Jen, you've beaten it.
I'm the only one who's beat the game so far, guys. I want to just, I just need to talk about it, and I can't with you guys.
But you're having, are you enjoying me kind of going through the process now?
I am. I'm enjoying it, but I'm also like jealous because there's this sadness where I'm just like, I wish I could experience it again for the first time.
Yeah, people said that to me, and now that I'm in it, I'm already having this like precognition of like this bittersweet, like, I wish I could play it again, and I'm still in it. So I'm so excited to live that through again as soon as Blade plays. But I think the two biggest things, again, dancing around any kind of spoilers, the two biggest things that have impacted me, consequence and perspective.
Mm.
I feel are two things that were really, really drove home. Just consequences of your actions and then the perspective of events and everything from different angles and different, different perspectives. So, man.
We've talked about this before, but, the first time I think I ever experienced that in a video game was Braid. And this amazing game where, and this is a spoiler and I'm sorry, but it's worth playing the game through where you realize at the end you're the villain. You're not the hero of the story. You're the villain of the story. And blew my mind, a sledgehammer to my brain. Like, it was crazy. And that is the thing, that we can explore when we are the character versus watching a movie or reading a story. Like, I will start it tonight. Okay. I will start The Last of Us tonight. I know you've been sending me screenshots of things and
it's just so beautiful.
I know. I'm afraid of that, which is wild. So The Last of Us 2, very insane experience. What are you, as you kind of come upon finishing it, what are your thoughts? Like, are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you, like Jen said, melancholy because you're going to exit this world?
I am already having, I am having this, again, like this I can see like the precognition of this like nostalgia already, and I'm still in it. I know that I'm going to wish that I could feel what I'm feeling again. And I think that's making me relish in it more, and that's making me enjoy it way, way more. And I can see everything percolating to a point. I can see where things are leading up to, and it is like, it is gut-wrenching, and I'm excited to see how the rest folds out. So now I need a hug, and that's that.
Jen, let's give her a Zoom hug. Ready?
Aww.
Zoom hug. It's going to look like our arms just covering the camera. But
I need it.
That's it.
Thank you.
That's it. Well, guys, that's going to do it for this week. If you guys have any questions, video game requests, or want us to prescribe you a video game, of course, hit us up at Good Game Nice Try on Twitter, or use hashtag GGNT. And don't at me about playing Last of Us 2. I'm going to start it tonight.
Every single person at him.
Don't at me.
I will retweet every single person Aaron on Twitter to play The Last of Us 2 already.
Oh, no. I'm starting it now. I'm starting up my PlayStation as we speak.
Good Game Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Chester Guasta. Music by John Danick.
This has been a Team Coco production.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.